Yes, we have tried. We tried all of those things, and we also had one time from California.
My name is Fletcher Woodard, T.E. Woodard Construction Company. Our address is 511 North 54th Street. We are general contractors. This is our 25th year in business. We do not have any problems with you. We currently hold contracts to fight. They like, you know, one on one work, one job on one work. The contract total is several million dollars. We started our business 26 years ago in the last year with $100 more than the home price. I take the position that a bonding company, and maybe we can do it, looks attractive. I believe they have a right to do that. They're increasingly asking us for financial statements and the progress of jobs. We have given job progress reports. And I'm not knowledgeable in whether or not out-of-state contractors are getting more contracts than the last contractors, whether the last contractors are doing the similar to each method, but somebody else could have got that. But as far as we are concerned, we haven't had any problem at all. I really can't claim to be appreciative of the money coming for being concerned about jobs that are not completed. Jobs that they have to take off the guard and off on, and those that they are taking off the guard. And some of them, I think about it, this is not a bond of God, but we're need to have a job that's the insurance companies have lost about $700,000. Our insurance company requires a day for the entire part of the project. It's part of the project. Even though it's been pretty well established, the cars and so it's their money. I wouldn't want anybody working on an airplane, but it's all right. And certainly wouldn't give them a job without asking questions. So, why shouldn't the bond company get a little bit faster?
Well,
I'm sure they're picking up. And one of the bond companies that's here is Argonaut Insurance Company. They went out of their last year, weren't they? So you're aware of that? And that was after that New York City fiasco where they lost millions of dollars after looking like $13 million in one whack. The same time that they were bonding the doctors were having a lot of experience. And all things tied together, the bonding companies were trying to take the leaders in the other direction. And at that time, they really tightened up. In the last 9 years, we've been able to find out that we've been able to talk to them. That paperwork, as far as the bonding company requirements is concerned, is a hair in the haystack compared to the paperwork that we're required to do with other people. State, union, federal government, we do quite a bit of Corps of Engineer work. That's just a tiny time to that paperwork, and it wouldn't have bothered us in this case. We've been bonded, I think, for the last 20 years. Quite a few of them, Fairbanks. worker, I don't think so. Had a job building a machine or something. They put the last rock in concrete and it had to put concrete in the form of a button. David didn't have anything to lose, so they picked up the tools and put the stuff in that. So, who's responsible?
Probably the best thing was letting quickly read through this relatively short. To summarize here, I sat through last night's hearing and good dialogue on both sides. We do have a problem. I think most of the discussion last night kind of skirted the issue, and that is what it's on. Again, the surety bond is not an insurance policy. An insurance policy is a two-party agreement where the insured pays a premium to the company and receives the benefits of the policy in the event of a claim. The surety ship, the person who pays the premium, is often principal. Yet in the event of a claim, he's also the person who must pay the loss. This is a fair requirement because if there is a claim, it will be due to the fact that the principal fails to do the thing to be responded for. The principal cannot pay, or if he will not pay, the bond remains in force for a full amount, which is another way of saying surety pay. The principal is required by the law of the surety ship to repay the surety for any loss the surety might sustain by reason of having executed the bond. If the principal is not able to convince the surety that he is a proper risk for his bond and his own resources to be furnished and indemnity. Sometimes the obligations of the bond with such security may not execute the bond with cash equal to the amount of the bond is sometimes more appropriate as collateral in advance of execution. The prime mission of the surety company, at least theoretically, is not to pay loss, but to perform service to worthy individuals who require a guarantee. Briefly in review, surety is a method of extending credit. It is a contract of indemnification. The premise of operation is that of paying relatively few or no loss in the whole principle of bond and indemnification. Now there was some discussion last night, some discussion tonight as to the use of financial statements. And this is really the only tool that security has that's available to determine liability of the contractor or the liability that they have a request for any kind of loss. And it's quite important that the information we gather and expeditiously be put together in a form that is understandable by all parties. The most common way now is an acceptable method to find a client's financial statement. And granted, it appears to be a little expensive. I think most people several suggestions here, several things that came to mind listening to testimony last night as to some of the reasons the problems have generated here in Alaska. Again, this is a little bit of simplification, but I think it's something that's worth suggesting. One of the problems is an increase in the number of bankruptcies throughout the state. Not necessarily bankruptcies, but generally some construction issues that have a lot. I do not have any figures, first-hand figures. However, I've heard that there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 100-150 bankruptcies in Alaska. This is probably a little high, but I think a trend is being established. This is not a healthy atmosphere for the security market. The possible means of reducing the bankruptcy within the construction industry, and also making them a little more conducive, a little necessary for the security people to come up here, would be to amend the licensing requirements within the state, within these states. Other states are very great contractors licenses within the particular field, i.e. general contractors who are licensed to single family dwellings, general contractors who are licensed to build structures unified services, and all other classifications. This by no means will eliminate competition. Instead, it will enhance by encouraging a better quality content. Case in point, if I wanted to go out right now and get a general contractor license, I could not even go without that. I think some consideration should be given to possibly categorizing and testing various contractors, initial very comprehensive test or an ongoing program in 3, 4, or 5 years. Another thing that might be considered from the standpoint of the state and governmental involvement would be to break up the size of some of the jobs that are coming out. I personally feel, and I really can't put myself in the position of being an expert, but all indications are now that over the next few years, most of the jobs that are coming out and state work are going to be real small and not going to be okay. I think this is about $5 million, $6 million, $7 million jobs. This is something that the average contractor, and I use that term loosely because I don't want to sample anybody's story, but the average contractor has this kind of handle. Not because it doesn't allow you to work, but it's not actually going to do it. Suggestion here is possible to take into consideration that tomorrow. Two things, two results that I would see here is number one, if you give the Alaska contractor the chance of getting the work, and you put the contract in a dollar amount, and go off and not will not be conducive to an outside of the end. Just touched the surface of the problem. Bonding is cyclic, and its availability runs through the national economy and the local money market. The solution to the problem of bonding is not something that can be pulled out of the hat. It's not something that can be directly legislated. It's something that will require time and considerable effort from all parties concerned. It's a triple step between all parties concerned with the contract of the broker. Article that I want to submit to comes from Best Insurance Review, the December 1975 issue. It's titled "An Analysis of the Security Market in 1974. It's one sentence that I'd like to read. The fact is, the security business, for the first time since 1963, produced a net underwriting loss, specifically on earned premiums. $523,240,362 security industry reported a combined loss and expense ratio in excess of 110%. They can't do very simply, it means for every dollar that they spend, they get $1.20. That's the basic, just a little bit. security company operates somewhere below $50 million. If the underwriter has done his job, secured sufficient information, done the background work, got the documentation, yeah, it could be. As Bill Nelson mentioned last night, though, some of the questions he said I can't answer. Given a specific financial statement and a specific job, a specific track record, the problem really right now is that we have to talk to them in terms. In many cases, we're going to get sidetracked. As far as what does Mr. Jones do, the only other alternative is FDA. And as far as what does Mr. Jones do, the only other alternative is SBA, but that takes anywhere 2 to 6 months to get something through there. If there's anything that can be done to light the fire under them, that's maybe something we should consider also.
Actually, there's no brokers, to my knowledge, you know, they have better information than I do, but I don't know of any brokers that are writing or assisting in the obtaining of that SBA guarantee.
That's right. There was an operation out of Seattle called Enskill Insurance Services that acted as the broker for the SBA program. They pulled out of Alaska earlier in the year. There's another operation down there right now called Surety Services, but their authority is very limited. As far as, and I'd like to finish this. As far as why brokers don't normally get involved with the SBA up here, it's a dollar and cents thing. It just takes too damn much time. It's too much paperwork. We've got ourselves wired down within our own industry with paper that we don't want to have to get involved in taking it up elsewhere.
Now, do you see this as
yeah, I think it's cyclic. It ebbs and flows with availability of money. I think that Alaska is going through a transition. I think the charities are looking at the pipeline and seeing that it's winding down. What's going to happen in the next couple of years? What's going to fill the void? I think there is definite area for concern. I think that as an alternative, from the standpoint of contractors, find out what bonding is about. Spend some time researching it so that you can go in and ask specific questions. As far as contractors go, use the various associations that they have, the AGC and MECA and whatever, to bring pressure on the surety themselves. There was a seminar here recently in Anchorage, and I gather that the AGC is going to have another one in Fairbanks, specifically on bonding. These are the things that should be ongoing, though. They should take maybe one phase of this month and another phase next month. I think that it's up to everybody here and everybody that has an interest in bonding is to get some dialogue out to various companies in the Seattle area. This is where we have to go. And I'm afraid that in many cases, as much as I hate to say it, that the average underwriter, with the exception of maybe a half a dozen, doesn't really know what Alaska's all about. He doesn't know what it's like up here. The year is, at the top of the world.
Do you think the selling job might be in order, versus by the AGC and the rest of the
Now, also remember, too, when the gentleman testifying last night was from New York and said he had no problems. How many contractors are in New York? 1 million? 750,000? How many contractors are up here? $500,000 loss in New York is really not going to affect the overall loss ratio for the state of New York. $500,000 loss up here is going to wipe us out. We don't have the base to work from. This is a problem. We're going to have to sell it. And to answer your question, yes, I think the AGC ought to get actively involved in this. It's a definite problem. I think that Commissioner Block ought to become a little more involved than he is. And I know he's been very active since he's taken over. I've never seen any figures specifically to answer that question. I would think that in many cases we're considered the last frontier. We are a state on the upswing, or have been on the upswing for the past 3 years, where it was just the opposite outside. I don't know what they see in store for us up here. I have yet to see any figures either coming from a state agency or coming from any of the underwriters outside as to what they expect. They're interested. but in a very standoffish way. They're going to pick and choose. And this can be just as dangerous, too.
How many companies are involved?
I'd say less than 10. How do you, as a contractor, bid a job that's going to take 5 years? And how do you, as a surety underwriter, underwrite that? How do you know what's going to happen in 2.5 years with labor, material, banks? You get these massive projects, and that does put a crimp in it. You can have one loss. Let's say that the pipeline was a bonded job. The guy that originally issued that bond would probably be walking up the side of the hill right now, just shaking his head, blowing bubbles.
My name is S.G. Waite. I'm with the Waite Company. I'm a general contractor. I didn't specifically come down here to give testimony. I thought I was signing up on a list of of people that had come down here. But from what I've listened to, I have a problem with bonding, and I have been in the construction business about 13 years. I've been on my own for about 2.5 years. When I first went into business, I did not experience really any problem in bonding. But within the last year and a half, I have found that it has gotten tougher. What we talked about before of net quick requirements and net worth requirements, at least in my case, have gone up and made it difficult for me to get bonds on jobs that I feel I'm adequately experienced and financially capable of handling. And I don't have an awful lot of testimony to give to you other than the fact that, yes, I consider myself a fairly experienced and reputable contractor, and I have a bonding problem.
Well, now, have you been getting bonding, though, even though the requirements stuff, or you didn't go to your broker and they say, sorry, we don't have anything for you?
No, they would never say, they've never said, we don't have anything for you, period, but we can't bond you on this job. Or we can't bond you on that job. Now, if you want to take a job, you know, if you want to come in and get a $50,000 bond, well, yeah, we can handle that as well.
Well, they indicated that
well, don't think the agent really has anything to say about it. He,
The word that you get from the agency by accepting the client.
Yeah, I would say that the company, the surety company requirements have gotten more stringent. Feel like their net quick requirements, at least in my case, are higher than I can or want to go. I mean, the thing is that when you obtain a bond, why, you sign an indemnity agreement, which basically says that anything that you own is they can come get if you go belly up and they're forced to take over a job for you. And but unfortunately, they seem to want this in actual money in the business itself. I mean, the requirements that they've set for me, I have a personal network that would take care of that. But I'll be damned if I want to go out and borrow against my house and property and stuff to put cash into the business. And this is what I mean by more stringent requirements.
Where I was kind of getting at is when I do tell you a specific job, I was wondering if maybe, this week here's a $100,000 job that you're not paying what you wanted on, and then the next week a $100,000 job that you are, or is it the larger job that you're telling you know and smaller jobs?
Well, I can't answer that because I've kind of stayed away from jobs that require bonding recently. And gone out and tried to get work that doesn't require bonding.
My name is Robert Robinson. I'm with Chilkoot Drilling and Services Incorporated and Kobuk Engineering Incorporated. I perhaps represent a smaller type of contractor than some of those who have given testimony. I put myself in the category of a contractor who will gross $3 million or less a year. Bonding as it stands now and has been for the past year has grown to the point where it appears to me and others that I have talked with that it appears to be a predetermined effort to eliminate the small lasting contractor. Now, I don't suggest, sir, that this is, but I don't think that there could be anything done more effectively to eliminate the small lasting contractor than the bonding situation as it now is. I started contracting in 1968. Prior to that, I've had 18 years of experience in the same field that I went into business in engineering and contracting. I'm a graduate engineer. I have a track record that certainly cannot be questioned insofar as job performances are concerned. When we first went into contracting and up until possibly 2.5 or 3 years ago, we had no particular problem in obtaining bonds. The problem at that time was more in establishing your track record or whether or not you could perform as a contractor as opposed to the requirements that are now being imposed. The testimony before here that there are a number of bonding sources in the state, I don't necessarily question the sincerity of that statement. I question the source of these agents because, or the source of these surety companies, because we have had a number We have made approaches to our agent, we've made approaches, and we've been given audiences with a number of other of the leading agents, insurance people in the state of Alaska. And the comment to us has been that there is a decreasing source of bonding, and in 6 more months there will be none. Now this has been made just flat out. Of the jobs that we have heretofore bid that have either been municipality or borough or state or federal or some related agency, almost 100% of them will require bonding. Now there are a few exceptions, and those exceptions of course are in the very, very smaller $5,000-$10,000 range. Of the other jobs, of the larger jobs, approximately 75% of them will require bonding. We have no choice now. Our choice is very plain. Either we grovel for dog meat on the smaller jobs that don't require bonding, or we go out of business. And there is no other solution as we can see it right now. Whether or not this is cyclic, I can't argue against or for that. But what are we to do in the cycle? We go out of business. And that's the statement of fact. I don't think I'm exaggerating one bit. I can't too much stress the severity of this situation as it affects us as a smaller contractor. The stock answer that we get from the bonding company is, again, and you've heard the term I'm sure many times, is net quick. Speaking more in specifics, sir, when I first required bonding, the same agent that I'm now dealing with, and I'm sure the same bonding company, at that time gave us a rule of thumb, is that our net quick, now when I speak again of net quick, I'm talking about cash that you can lay your fingers on immediately. The ratio for bonding was 12 to 15 to 1 at that time, and this was in 1968 through perhaps 70, 71, 72, maybe not even that long now. Today, if I go in for a bond, the first thing that I might ask, sir, is for an audited statement. And if I go to your agency for a bond, they ask for an audit statement. If I miss this job and go to another agency a month later or 2 months later, I can't use the same audited statement. I have to have another audited statement. And that gentleman is from $1,500 to $2,000 each. During last year, we had 5 audited statements and gotten no bond. And our audited statements weren't, the stock answer that we had from our audited statement, sir, was that we did not have, instead of 12 to 15 to 1 ratio, if we wanted to bond a job, if we had $10,000 net quick, then historically in the past, I could have bonded a $120,000 to $150,000 job with a $10,000 net quick. Today, if I have a $10,000 net quick, I can maybe bond a $25,000 job. The contractors in my level of contracting, we're not large enough to maintain a net quick of $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. Hopefully we will. I think that that's all of our hope, is that we will. We're building, and some of us choose to crawl before we walk and walk before we jump. The other solution, of course, is with a CD from your bank. A CD can be tied up for 7 years or for a bonding, which any of your bonding agents will tell you, and the bank then will come back upon you. You can't take what quick cash that you can and put it in a CD and tie it up for 7 years. You can't do it. Not a small contractor. I can't do it. The other solution is to joint venture. Now, gentlemen, this is hurting the state of Alaska, in my opinion, in contracting more than any other single thing, is that we are being forced into joint venturing with outside companies. Now, I had the opportunity 3 weeks ago on a BIA job to bid it. I had a very good margin of profit built in. To bond it, I was offered by a company from Seattle, I will joint venture with you and I will see that you bond it. This is no solution for an Alaskan contractor. I could have got the job. I refuse to do this, and I call it for what reason you wish. I don't think that this is what we're trying to drive Alaskan contractors into, but it's what we're being driven into. I'm kind of remiss to sit here and point out some of the things that are happening without a solution. I'm not that conversant with the situation, perhaps a solution would be to raise the bonding limits on any governmental type contracting to $100,000 or to some limit other. You mentioned, sir, earlier a $50,000 limit and the job that I've lost. I've bid two jobs in the last 2 months, both of which were less than $30,000, and I couldn't bid either one of them without a bond. One was a yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The state can require a bond.
Yes, perhaps they can or can't, but be that as it may, they do. The point I'm trying to make it. The other possible solution would be to, on jobs that can be controlled or at least can be influenced, to break the larger jobs down into smaller jobs and to make more contracts out of one contract, if you are sincerely interested in the contractors of Alaska. I frankly think that it's costing every organization that's bidding jobs in Alaska more money, because I consider myself very qualified in the fields that I will bid on. I won't bid out of my field. If by these requirements that are being on, we're being put out of business, those jobs are going to be bid for more and more and more because there's no competition, and I think it's costly. I think that that's all I have right off the top of my head. I'll be glad to answer any of your questions.
I'm so curious as to the source of the statement that in 6 months there won't be any bonding.
Yes, sir. Insurance Brokers of Alaska. Ms. Jan Boyer.
I'd like to follow that up.
Yes, sir. Sir, it's been tightening. It's been a gradual, I think, tightening. I'm not at odds with the surety company, sir, and I'm positive that they have had the problems. I don't suggest that they're billing anything that's or painting any picture that's not true. These problems, to my recollection, started increasing slowly, and I would say became the latter part of 73 and the beginning of 74. It became increasingly difficult, and from that point to now, it's changed from difficult to impossible. Now, with Mr. Waite, the gentleman who previously testified, I can get bonding. But in order to do so, gentlemen, I have to put on the line every piece of property. I'm talking about my personal bank account. So to build up to a 2 or 3 to 1 net quick versus the 12 to 15 to 1 net quick of 10 years ago.
Just by way of information for me, what do you have to do when you put up net quick? Do you have to put it in escrow?
No, sir. No, sir. A net quick on your financial statement will show as, if there's an accountant here, perhaps they can testify after me, but a net quick is your current bank account at that time that that audit is made. Receivables which have been audited and are bona fide receivables that will be received within 30 days. CDs or any other source of net quick immediate cash that you have with your company and or with your personal, if you can go out and make a loan on your house, which I have done to bond, then that can be put in a CD, and a CD is net quick.
Yeah, I understand what goes in there. Do you have to pledge that all that property?
Well, there's one of two ways that you can work it. You can either make a bank loan on it and put that in a CD dedicated to this particular bond, or the other way is your letter of indemnification by as stockholder and personal indemnification and corporate indemnification. And as long as you do personally indemnify it, then you're on the line.
Okay, well, if you send a letter of indemnity, does the surety company then require you to sign over your assets in escrow or something like that?
No, sir.
No.
That has not happened to me, sir.
Is your problem, there's you can tell from your conversations with other contractors, is pretty much the case with contractors with good jobs your side, or have you found that some are able to get by?
I know of no exceptions in the contractors in my size or category, whatever, and now that doesn't suggest that I know every one of them or the majority of them, but I know quite a number of them, and our problem seems to be universal. Now, sir, were I in a position to, if it's a multi-million-dollar or a many-million-dollar bidding type contractor, I probably would not have this problem. But by the same token, I don't think the smaller contractor should be penalized to the point where there is no more smaller contractor.
I don't either. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I'm just from the BIA job where you were offered a
JV. I beg your pardon?
What was the other company paying out at the
50%, sir. This was to be a limited joint venture. Yes, sir. This offer is made repeatedly. Or the other offer is, and this offer has been made to our company several times, is for an outside contracting company, a larger one, to have a merger of interest and have you be their Alaskan contracting alliance, and there would be an ownership, a transfer of stock involved. And this is not healthy. You, sir. I suggested within 24 hours, sir, that I could probably have firm offers, and I'm kind of shooting off the hip somewhat, not that much. I suggested given 24 hours, I could have firm offers from a dozen outside companies to buy interest, a transfer of stock in my company, so that they could be then a qualified Alaskan contractor, have an outlet for, I would have bonding. And I suggested I would have no trouble in coming up with a dozen of these in 24 hours. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Keep coming, friends out there.
I'm Chuck Adams. I'm the president of AIM Insurance, senior vice president of AIM Incorporated, parent corporation. I'm on the board of directors of the Home Builders Association, head of their bonding committee, board of directors of the Homeowners Warranty Council. Our firm is a small insurance brokerage firm specializing in small to medium-sized businessmen and contractors and their financial affairs. I'm certainly no expert. I wouldn't put myself alongside firms such as Bill Nelson and Dawson & Company or Carew & Black. We don't have offices in Seattle or around the world. We have a small office here and a small satellite office in Tokyo. There is a problem. Not only in the field of performance bonds, which this committee has heard most of the talk about, but also in the field of license bonding, fidelity bonding, and court bonding. This problem has been growing for a number of years. Now, I can only speak about my own experience in this, but for the time being, I'd like you and the gentleman in the audience, that when I say bond, think credit card. Because it works exactly the same way.